Hello and happy Thursday. This is Dr. Nicholas Van Sickles. I am the Chief Medical Officer at Crescent Care, a federally qualified health center in New Orleans. And we are coming to you all a few times a week to discuss issues related to COVID-19 in the United States, specifically as they relate to New Orleans, to Louisiana, or relate to anyone that's listening to this podcast and how they might affect the clients and patients of Crescent Care. So today we are lucky to have Rainey Thompson, Director of our Legal Services, back with us to talk about housing. And this has been something that's been getting a lot of popular attention in the media. So Rainey, if you can, just reintroduce yourself so everybody, if they missed the first podcast, which you should listen to, they can get a little bit acquainted with who you are and what you do here at the agency.
Great. Thank you. So yes, I am Rainey Thompson. I'm an attorney here with the agency. I'm the director of the legal services program here. We provide direct legal services for free on civil legal claims for clients who might need that help. And so we are a medical legal partnership, and we work closely, you know, really hand in hand with social services, with social workers, the medical providers here on the team. We are housed here in New Orleans in the clinic, and also we've got an office in Baton Rouge as well. So I'm excited to be back with you on today and to talk about some issues that really are concerning to our clients.
Yes, let's start. I think when you and I were talking about this beforehand, want to kind of break it up into people who are renting, people who own or are paying a mortgage, and then kind of how the legislation that's been passed helps people that are affected by COVID-19, but how the existing laws are still there. So why don't we talk about renters? What is happening with renters? We know that the unemployment claims have been soaring, and that with that, of course, people have lost jobs, have lost income, might not be able to make their rent. What can people who are renting expect right now from their landlords in this crisis?
So it's really important for renters in our community to know that there are protections that are available for them under both federal law and some executive orders that have been issued by Governor John Bel Edwards. Specifically, there are moratoriums, meaning these actions have been suspended as it relates to evictions.
Okay.
So under the CARES Act, which is the federal act that was rolled out a couple of weeks ago that has protections for renters, there's a moratorium that prevents landlords from evicting renters for at least 120 days if it's a non-payment of rent issue.
Okay.
And so that means that there's an effective date that order went into place, and for the 120 days from that effective date, evictions are suspended.
Okay.
And then it also provides that if the landlord should want to take action for non-payment of rent, that landlord would have to give the tenant a 30-day notice of his intent to evict, but that can't be delivered until after the CARES Act has expired.
Okay.
So, at this point, things continue to change. Rules change constantly.
Okay.
So we're doing our best to stay on top of this, but essentially, landlords should not be taking action against tenants at this point who are unable to make those rent payments. And, you know, that's the way the law reads, but we all know that landlords don't always adhere to that. And so, you know, it's really important for renters in our community to know that if they've been threatened with an eviction, if their landlord is taking actions that's counter to both the CARES Act and the executive order that was issued by Governor John Bel Edwards, which was extended until April 30th,
okay,
that they need to seek legal help.
Okay.
And we've got resources on our website that they can look for that will give them, you know, some ways in which they might reach out for legal assistance,
okay,
get their questions answered online, but also advocate for themselves in these situations.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things y'all do so well is encourage and train people, and this is social services too, to really learn how to advocate for themselves and provide them the tools to do that. You mentioned they can't evict them for non-payment of rent.
Correct.
And you said that very intentionally. They can evict them for other reasons still?
I mean, there's a lease agreement. There is a contract in place between the tenant and the landlord. And so there are other terms in the lease that you are still obligated to adhere to.
Okay.
So this specifically deals with non-payment of rent, right?
Okay.
But the problem is that if there is a lease violation on the part of the, or an alleged lease violation on the part of the tenant, the landlord can still evict, but he can still take actions to evict, but because the governor's order is in place and the courts are essentially closed in many parts of the state, filing that action, and it does require legal action,
okay,
a legal proceeding in the state of Louisiana. So filing that action right now has also been suspended. So what renters should know, what community should know, is that you still are obligated to adhere to the terms of your lease agreement. Pull it out, make sure you're not violating those terms. Pay your rent if you can afford to pay the rent.
Sure.
Because at the end of when these orders sunset, the obligation remains that you are still going to have to do that. If you need some sort of accommodation as it relates to your ability to make a payment, or you might need some accommodations as it relates to how the lease term now, it doesn't work given your current situation, communicate with your landlord. Document everything. You heard me say that before.
Yes.
Document everything. And again, use the resources that are available to you online. There's some sample letters on some websites that can tell you how to do this, some email language that's been crafted to help tenants talk to their landlords. So you're saying the right thing, using the right language, so that it's very clear that you're exercising your rights to protect yourself, to protect your interests beyond this crisis. And just know, like I said, if you need legal help, there are resources available to assist you.
Okay. Yeah, that's great and good to know. And I think I like outlining that point. You're still obligated to the lease. So even if you can't be evicted right now, things could be coming and it's a good time to, which is tough in the midst of all this stress and anxiety and unknown, to make sure you're still staying on top of it, staying prepared, knowing how to advocate for yourself, and preparing for eventually having to repay rent. I mean, you're going to have to. Hopefully, seeking out assistance through some of the other things you talked about on the last podcast, the other social services programs, the unemployment benefits, things like that, that might help people kind of catch up with their rent.
Yes.
What about for people who are paying a mortgage, who are trying to buy a house? What is their obligation now? I mean, what if they can't make their mortgage?
So there are protections for our homeowners. Again, the governor's order here in Louisiana has suspended foreclosure actions and sales and seizures of people's properties in the state of Louisiana has been suspended under that order through April 30th of this year.
Okay.
It might be extended, but that's one of those things that we're constantly monitoring because it changes. But for now, Louisiana residents who are borrowers paying a mortgage right now, they have that protection.
Okay.
Under the federal law, under the CARES Act, there are protections available for homeowners as well, but it specifically covers those who have mortgage loans that are federally owned or federally backed. And so you're looking at folks who have like a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, USDA, a VA loan, something like that. And the rules are specific, like the law is very clear that that's what's covered. That group of folks, borrowers, are the ones who get the moratorium that exists under the CARES Act.
Okay.
So there is a moratorium, and it expires on May 17th of this year. So that means that under that moratorium, if you are a borrower with a federally backed loan that's covered under that, that falls within that group, your mortgage company cannot initiate foreclosure proceedings against you.
Okay.
And that means they can't. In Louisiana, it's a judicial foreclosure process.
Okay.
So that means they have to go to court to be able to get the ball rolling, essentially, to get a court order that will allow them to seize and sell your property after they go through all of the legal proceedings and any challenges that you might have. So so they're not even supposed to initiate that.
Okay.
If you're a homeowner who had foreclosure proceedings that were already going forward before the emergency declaration, those proceedings have been suspended as well.
Okay.
So all foreclosure proceedings there's a moratorium on those federally backed loans.
can we expect, well, a couple questions I wanted to ask. How do people know if they have a federally backed loan? I know that's a basic question, right. But like, and you mentioned some of the common ones that we've, I know I've heard about in the news, but how do you find that information out?
I mean, it's going to take a little digging if you don't know, right? Okay. Like, so Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae both have lookup portals on their websites.
Okay.
So you can start there with them at least and just plug in your information and it'll tell you immediately whether or not you're covered by one of those two programs.
Got it.
The other thing to do would be to look at the loan documents that you got when you closed on that mortgage, right? Go back there, take a look at those, and it will have some language that will tell you that it is or is not. You can contact the National Housing Association, and see if you have a loan, if it's covered by, if it's an FHA loan. That's the National Servicing Center. FHA loans, you might get that information from there. And then I put some a link to a website on our webpage that has it's a link to a website that will, you know, give you the ability to check if you have one of those loans. Okay. So it's not as apparent and easy as it should be, but, you know, and if all else fails, just call your mortgage servicer and it's like, look, am I covered?
Yeah.
Is this loan covered by this? And ask for the help.
No, that's great advice and good way to know, because I was just thinking through like how each of us who might own houses would even know where our loans came from, because when you apply for a loan, you get so in the weeds about just your finances and stuff, you don't always think about that. The second thing I wanted to ask you, so May 18th comes, what happens?
So if you have not exercised your rights under the CARES Act, May 18th comes and everything just goes full force again, unless the CARES Act is extended. And so I keep saying you have to ask for the help. There is within the CARES Act protection, mortgage payment relief is what we're calling it. And so if you're a homeowner, if you're a borrower, you cannot afford to pay your note during this time, right?
Sure.
And you have one of those, your loan is covered, it's federally backed, then you have to ask your mortgage company for the assistance that the Act provides.
Okay.
They're not obligated under the Act to tell you that you should do this.
Okay.
So, again, it's got to be federally backed, and it's a forbearance that's being offered. So the forbearance means that for a set period of time under this Act, it's up to 180 days. When you put the request in, up to 180 days, you can either have your payment deferred or you can have it reduced.
Okay.
But at the end of the forbearance period, you have to pay it.
Okay.
Whatever is owed, the obligation is on the borrower to essentially bring your account current.
So having that conversation with the lender sounds like really a key point to find out if you are protected under the CARES Act, if you need to use the benefits, to make sure you activate those benefits, and then to plan ahead for how you're going to be able to pay this over the long term. Hopefully using some of the other resources afforded by the different acts.
Correct. And you know, we had the foreclosure crisis in this country. not so long ago.
No, it was not that long ago.
And so this is not a new situation for either the borrower or lenders. And so what came out of that crisis was, you know, that lenders really had to set into place processes that will afford borrowers opportunities to look for alternatives to avoid foreclosure.
Yeah.
And that included like a loan modification, repayment plans, deferring the payments back to the end of the mortgage. Most people think when you ask for a forbearance that that's what happens. That's not what happens. A forbearance doesn't forgive it. It doesn't waive it. It just suspends it for a minute for this period of time.
Okay.
And then you have to figure out how you're going to bring that account current. You know, if you're not able to do it, and it's asking before you get to the end, right?
Okay.
Don't wait until that forbearance period ends,
right,
and then
say, I'm out of money.
Right. So asking for the help before you get to the end. And within the CARES Act, you can actually request an extension of that forbearance period. If you need more time than that 180 days that's been afforded to you, you can ask for an extension, and it can be extended for, I believe, up to another 180 days. So it's really trying to give our homeowners some relief so that they can continue to navigate through all of these changes, get their finances back on track, and then, you know, keep their homes and keep moving forward and restabilizing themselves financially. So again, take advantage of what's there and always, always, always get it in writing, right? Get it in writing.
I love that you echo that every time because it's so important.
Because it's not, I mean, you know, I dealt with foreclosure. I did the foreclosure defense work for several years. And what routinely came through the door was that, well, that wasn't my understanding of what the agreement was.
Yeah.
Or they didn't explain it to me that way.
Yeah.
And so I say, get it in writing and then take a look at what they send you. Because if it's not what you thought it was, if the terms are different than what you agreed to, then you need to go back. Or have a lawyer go back and advocate for you so that you get the right help that you need.
I'm so happy you're on today talking about this because, I mean, we talk about housing. Before all this happened, we had so many conversations with people about housing. Housing is health. Housing is so important for the work we do, and it is just a crucial resource. And now we have this that is threatening housing so much. And I think these tips and this advice for a lot of people who have bought a house and taken that step to know what they need to do and to kind of get prepared, because I think all of us in this shell-shocked state,
right,
we might not be thinking like, okay, I deferred it, or the government said they're going to give me some money, or, you know, these acts are very complicated, it's hard to understand how to reach me. I mean, this is really, really good information. I think it's wonderful that you're coming on here and spreading it, so thank you.
But let me add that everything that I've been talking about so far, we're still dealing with people who have federally backed loans.
Yes, thank you.
So
if you don't have
one of those loans, then the CARES Act, unfortunately, is not covering you. And we've still got homeowners, borrowers who can't pay the note, irregardless of whether or not it's federally backed.
So what are some options there?
So we go back to what we've been able to do post-crisis, you know, during the crisis. And so you still need to go back to your lender and say, I need help. I'm experiencing a financial hardship. It's impacting my ability to pay my note. What options are available for me? If you can't get through to them on the phone, you can always go online. You know, set up an account online, and then as a result of the foreclosure crisis that we were in, most servicers have set up a loss mitigation department within their collections, within their agency. And so you can actually email and interact with them and submit documents and all that through their online loss mitigation portal. And so, again, and that stuff is going to be saved. You've got records of your submissions. So if you have the ability to access the servicer online, your account online, then communicate that way. But ask for it. And then, you know, again, you've documented that you've put the request in.
Yeah.
And the laws didn't go away. They're still obligated to review these accounts and adhere to the rules before they even get into a foreclosure against you.
And, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I know, obviously, the industries want to make money and make a profit. But, I mean, in general, their goal is they don't want a lot of people foreclosing. Correct?
Yes. I'm going to say yes. That's the foreclosure defense attorney in me.
Good.
I'm going to say yes. That's the hope that we have.
Yeah.
That if the loss mitigation tools that are in place to keep people from going into foreclosure is actually used correctly and for the benefit of borrowers, then yes, that's the goal. They will do the right thing, and folks will be given options that fits them financially that will allow them to retain the properties.
But through all of this, federal or non-federal loan, the unifying message is reach out for help.
Right.
Document, reach out, take the steps, and when you don't know, ask for help from someone who does.
I mean, it's critical. And, but dealing with finances and then finding yourself in a place where you might actually lose your home or be evicted. Like,
it's
you
terrifying.
Might, it's terrifying. It's, you know, there's a, you know, for our community, there's a sense of shame and like some sort of failure that comes with that. And then this, especially now that we're in, we're self-quarantined and staying home, it becomes isolating even more. And so you're not talking to folks about it. When, you know, in normal settings, it's hard to tell, you know, family members that I might be foreclosed on or I might be evicted and asking for help.
Right.
It's not, it's not an easy thing to do. And so in these current times, it becomes increasingly challenging for folks, which is why the message has to be, you know, you have to ask for the help, you know. You have to, you know, reach out to the resources that are there, look for the information, ask the questions, and know that you, this is within your rights. Like mortgage companies, you know, they're supposed to be there to receive these requests and process them. And especially for folks who fall under the CARES Act, if you call in and say, you know, I'm experiencing a financial hardship that's related to, you know, the current crisis, and I need this forbearance or whatever other relief, you know, I'm eligible for, there's no requirement other than you self-attesting that that's what your situation is. And you, okay. I mean, you know, and then they review it, and whatever information that they need in terms of your finances to make that decision is what happens. You're not required to turn over any written evidence, no documents, no medical records that establishes that.
Yeah.
And that's important to know, because on the other side of that, for folks who are not federally backed, if you don't fall in that category, you might be overwhelmed with the request to send in all of whatever sorts of documentation, bank records, and all of these things that traditionally goes with the whole loss mitigation review process. And there are housing counselors on that are available to help you navigate that. So resource link on our website, it's a HUD link that can connect you to housing counselors free, because this can be done for free, right?
Great.
These services are available for free. So access them and utilize them so that they can help be, if you need that advocate and you can't do this yourself, use that resource that's there to help you do it.
No, that's great advice, and really important right now. Last thing I wanted to get to, and we've talked about this a little bit, is the laws have changed. Let me rephrase that. Laws haven't changed. There have been new acts passed. What is the messaging, I think, that you would like to get out about how the existing laws are still there and there's this new overlay of these new acts?
I think you've described it. Like, people in crisis, we kind of tend to forget that that we were dealing with some pretty horrible injustices, you know, that were being, you know, that were, folks were dealing with these issues before, long before crisis situations. Like, we were dealing with, you know, illegal practices of, you know, discriminatory practices of landlords against tenants. You know, some, you know, the foreclosure crisis brought out some things that mortgage servicers were doing that were clearly counter to what the law allowed. And it also pointed out some systemic issues that needed to be addressed. And so, you know, in at this time, you know, what we really want folks to know is that the law, like the Fair Housing Act, didn't go away. It's not like, you know, put on the back burner because we now have the CARES Act and we have these moratoriums in place and folks are prohibited from doing certain things. Discriminatory actions are still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, people, you know, there are illegal lockouts. People are being threatened with eviction, are moved into isolated places within certain units because there's this belief that you are somehow, you might be infected with COVID-19, or somebody in the property might be infected with COVID-19. And so, you know, maybe, you know, you've got a landlord with a multifamily unit that's going to say, okay, everybody in this age group, you go over here, and because you're a higher risk group. You know, we haven't seen that, or at least we haven't heard it.
Yeah.
And the hope is that it's not happening. But what we want to do is get the word out to folks that if you find yourself in a situation where you believe that there are some actions being, you know, that you're dealing with some actions against you that somehow corresponds to what's happening with this crisis. I keep losing my mask.
it's our third masked podcast.
If you are, you know, encountering, like, you know, some hostility, like if you've asked your landlord to accommodate you, like if you've got, if there's supposed to be an inspection, if there's supposed to be something that happens during this time, and you've said, I need you to accommodate me because we're social distancing now, right?
Yeah.
We're doing these things now, and you're just getting resistance, or the landlord is silent and you can't get any response, then there's some problems there.
Yeah.
If you've, you know, if landlords are asking you, you're asking for help, and the landlord is like, well, prove to me that you have this, or asking for unreasonable things, right. Things that are unnecessary to support your request for assistance. You know, we routinely refuse to rent to folks connected to COVID-19 or not, right? Yeah. I mean, race, gender, you know, all of these things, you know, disability, all of these things we see frequently in our day-to-day work around here. And so we fight these on a daily basis. And so, you know, beyond the crisis, we're looking at this plus what comes behind the crisis, right? Yeah. Like, so we know that folks will continue to engage in these discriminatory practices, but what will the lens of COVID-19 crisis look like on top of this?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think we've certainly seen COVID-19 bring out disparate health outcomes along racial lines. I mean, of course, we're going to see it along other lines too. And so I think it's very good you bring this up, where people can get advice, what they need to do, what they need to look out for, and know that it's not okay, because it wasn't okay before.
Right.
And it shouldn't be getting worse now.
Right.
So
definitely. It really is important for folks to know that your rights are still protected.
Yes.
They didn't go away.
No.
And if you advocate for yourself and then you get some retaliation in response to your efforts to advocate for yourself, you still have rights. You still are protected against even the retaliation that comes from you being vocal and visible, right?
Yeah.
You just want people to be invisible, unfortunately, in this world.
Yeah.
Low-wage workers, communities of color, you know, folks who are just trying to survive are pushed back beyond the margins and are told to just be invisible. And we're saying, no, like, you still have rights. And you've got folks in these spaces who, like Crescent Care, who are advocating for you and hopefully arming you with the information you need to know that if you exercise those rights, you're not standing alone.
Well, Rainey, this has been wonderful. I know you sent me a list of topics. I would love to have you or any of your colleagues. I love having you, but any of your colleagues too. Please come back on a regular basis, as I think arming people with this knowledge, you know, my bias, of course, is as a healthcare provider, but as I said to you last time on the podcast, half of what I talk about is not necessarily directly related to health. It is related to health because,
right.
As I said, housing is health.
Definitely.
Your rights are health, and those affect your health outcomes. And again, if anything, COVID-19 has just brought that out. So I would love to have you all back on a regular basis, if that's okay with you.
That's
great. You
don't
have to promise right now.
I'll talk to my team.
Talk to your team. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will get this up soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.